This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor is going to distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to Anchor.fm to get started.
You're tuning in to the online broadcast network AfterBuzz TV. Over 20 million weekly downloads in over 150 countries and your number one source for after show entertainment.
Johnson.
AfterBuzz TV, the destination for TV superfans, producing aftershows for over 300 of your favorite TV shows, interviewing celebrities and showrunners, and bringing you behind-the-scenes exclusives. All thanks to E! Entertainment's Maria Menounos, producer Kevin Undergaro, and internet leader Akamai. Now, let the buzz begin!
Okay, welcome everybody. Thank you for joining us for another AfterBuzz TV After Show for Downton Abbey Series 5, or Season 5 if you're in the States, and this is Episode 3. I'm John Comerford, joined in the studio by Alina Akram.
Hi everyone.
And Tamara Berg.
Hey everybody.
And Courtney Stewart.
What's up, everybody?
And we have a full boat here today.
Yeah.
Good. I'm glad
Alina
was
able
to make it.
That's
great. We got everybody
us.
Back. The band's back together. We have a lot to talk about, as opposed to last week when we were just nudging the story down the line.
No,
now
really.
He threw everything in the kitchen sink.
Yes.
So I want to get right into it, because where we left off the last episode was Mary and Tony having their little tryst in Liverpool, of all places, because that's where Liverpool's known for trysts. Maybe at that time it was. I don't know.
Perhaps.
But we saw them in bed together. Whoa,
waking up
very
together.
Scandalous. Exactly.
Mm-hmm. She looked very pretty.
I know.
Hair all
tumbled.
I know, right? And her little nightie.
Her little
nightie.
Her little
nightie.
Yeah. She put her little shawl
on. She's very pretty.
Wow. Okay. I wasn't even paying attention. I mean, yeah. So how did Tony look, by the way?
I was looking at him.
Okay, nobody's looking at him.
Sorry.
Yeah, that's the whole thing about it, really. Now that you've seen them together, it's like, right?
Not even Mary's looking at him anymore.
No,
weren't we all on Team Blake
initially? Yes. But then when he propositioned her in the first episode,
you liked him, saying,
"I like that."
Yeah, you liked
that. But no,
that didn't work for you.
He was like, "Where's Waldo?" Laid up in the bed.
I thought the most telling thing was the look at the end of the scene when he finally leaves the room, and then she's left there, and it's the whole hum look on the face, like.
That's all I got.
Oh, boy. Yeah.
Well, he's in a big rush. When should we set the date? What are we going to do? I want to know everything about you, because we're going to be married for the rest of our lives.
Yeah. So, and of course, that, you know, so there's that. And so they had their fun for the week or whatever. And then as they're leaving, of course,
of all people.
I was like, what?
I was like,
Exactly. That's what I was like. What is Spratt doing in Liverpool?
Exactly.
Of all people.
His face was priceless.
Yeah.
Just utter shock.
Yeah. And still with smugness, though.
Yes.
Oh,
so judgment and the righteousness.
Of course.
And
so
everything.
Judging.
And I thought it was great, the edit, that we go right to Violet.
Straight to her.
To make the connection. In case anybody was wondering.
Because
Isabel's going, where's Spratt? Oh, he's in Liverpool. So that for anybody that didn't quite recognize him, because he's out of his butler uniform, his face, or valet, whatever. No, he's butler, sorry. So anyway, so we get that. And then my favorite scene is between he and Violet.
Okay,
that
best
so
scene
good.
Of this episode.
She is so good.
Absolutely. Did not miss a beat. So he walks in, hey lady, I saw Mary on the tattletale. I saw Mary and the boy.
Yes.
Uh-huh. And she just, I mean,
she
had the millisecond of a frozen face. And then from there it was like, you are not getting me, buddy.
Yeah. And well, clearly she's been in that kind of situation before. She's got that in her back pocket. She knows how to get out of that.
She whipped it right out.
Boy, with that deftly handle. I was so impressed. And I was wondering at the time, I even think I turned to Tam and I said, is it because Julian Fellowes writes so well for that character, or is it Maggie because she's so amazing at it?
It has to be a combo.
A little of both. Yeah. Yeah.
I love that she turned it around on him.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Exactly. That was my favorite part.
It was masterful.
You didn't dare to assume something, exactly. Right?
What was her line? Was, what did you imagine you were witnessing?
Yes.
You pig.
Well, no, she said nothing. I hope nothing wasn't anything beneath a butler in this house.
Because you're a pig.
Yeah, well, yeah, but okay.
The last two episodes, he's been, you know, throwing all of his disdain.
Dr. Clarkson.
And being all snooty and snobby. Well, yeah, so she really like, called him out.
Knows his fulcrum. Yeah. So she knows where to get him.
She checked him.
Yeah. Big time, yeah. But not, I mean, even so, when Mary shows up, he's still trying to get his little nudge.
Right?
Oh,
yes.
It's like, what?
And she brings it up. Yep, Mary's telling me all about the conference, whatever.
But wasn't it perfect that the look that you said that moment of where she had that, the dowager had that frozen look.
Dang it.
Mary had the same look when he asked her about
Liverpool.
Yeah, Liverpool. You can see that same. It's like, wow, that really does transfer down to his grandchild.
It does.
That's great. But then she carried it off nicely too. Very good.
I learned a lot.
And then, that was a great line.
And Violet,
if you know what I mean. Mm-hmm.
She was like, okay, I'm going to just look this way.
I have to say
the dowager was sitting when they were having their conversation, she wouldn't even really face her. The proxemics was amazing.
Okay, but here's the thing. So Spratt is bested by the two of them.
Right.
But what's to stop him from speaking to another servant and passing the story along, right?
Nothing.
Absolutely nothing. And he's likely to, I'm guessing, because of the
way... because he didn't get a satisfaction out of it with the dowager.
Mm-hmm. Especially if things don't work out with Tony and Mary.
Yeah. Whoa, that's
something to talk about.
That may be the thing when Charles comes back, and he will... And then he finds out later, you had a little week with Tony in Liverpool?
Scandal.
Yeah, that'll happen. Sure, why not? Yeah. Okay, but finishing up the story a little bit, because let's carry it through. So obviously, the dowager dealing with Neri is just appalled. Giving her, as a grandmother should do, telling her all kinds of reasons why this is not a good idea in my day.
This is shocking to anyone in 1924.
Exactly. That was a great,
great line. Don't let us hide behind changing time. Like, don't give me that excuse, young lady.
Right.
I don't care what year it is.
Well, and the other line, a young woman of good standing who finds herself in the bed of a man, not her husband, has invariably been seduced.
And then when she asks about her willing, and Violet comes back with that whole, like, you weren't supposed to feel attraction.
Yes.
Oh, that was brilliant.
It's like, what?
Yeah. Well, and just because I did write it down, in my day,
yes, exactly,
a lady was incapable of feeling physical attraction until instructed to do so by her mama.
Her mama. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But my favorite line, well, not my favorite line, but the more than anything, the line that worked for me was where she says, "Look, you must be in control of your feelings, or they will control you."
That was great advice.
That's really great.
It wasn't coming from this is old fashioned or that. No. But that's good advice. Period. In that period of time, you know. Mm-hmm.
That's good advice.
Don't you agree?
Yeah. Anytime.
Actually, yeah.
Somebody needs to give me that advice.
Something that, what's her name, we wish Baxter had, because obviously she didn't get that advice.
Right. Yeah. True. And another person who didn't get that was Edith.
Yeah.
Because in this particular episode, Edith was not in control of her emotions.
She was not.
She's wearing a heart on her sleeve like crazy with Marigold. It's driving Margie nuts. To the
rightly
point.
So.
Well, yeah.
It's
uncomfortable. Well, yeah, it's awkward. Every scene is awkward and uncomfortable.
But
Margie freaks out at this point and goes crazy because she thinks Edith has actually taken Marigold when they're not home.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I went, wow, okay.
I felt the same way.
Did you?
Really? Wait, Edith, did you take that girl back to the house? Like, where are you?
She absconded
with the child. That struck me as being relatively irrational for her to come in. And so she's obviously, you know, concocting a whole scenario in her head before she even gets home.
Well, I'm guessing their whole walk home with their child after the dentist or whatever, found dentist, you know, she's thinking, she better be there. What is she going to be doing with Margie?
Yeah, winding herself up.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And then when Marigold wasn't there.
Is it just about Marigold, though, or her husband as well, Tim?
Well, she makes that statement that, you know, I thought she was soft on you, but now I think you're soft on her.
Right.
Which I don't see any of that happening between, you know,
well,
I just don't
you
see
do
it.
Because he's
really
the idea that he would even bring this to her makes uh-huh. if I would look at him like why what
yes
why no something's not right about that so.
And you never know if there might have been farm to farm conversations about Edith because mm-hmm. if you'll remember
oh that's
oh,
right
farm right.
to farm that's
there was some kissing in the barn.
Oh, that's true.
Oh, yeah.
I don't remember him, who that farmer was, but yes. That
where
was
she was
a couple
helping
seasons
out.
Ago. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, no, clear. Yeah,
and
yeah,
he
absolutely.
Was married as well, right?
Yeah.
Yeah,
so, yeah.
See.
He's been known to do it before. And so you know those Crawley women.
I'm being silly, but, you know.
No, no. That could have been part
her.
Of the, you know.
Maybe she did hear a little bit
rumor
about
mill.
That. Mm-hmm. But, they had the rumor mill big time back then.
And Tim so far has been so good about the whole thing and, you know, trying to do the noble thing and the right thing and everything. And then just the fact that the way he came to the Downton Abbey itself, came to the home.
Came all the way over.
Yeah, exactly, when they're having entertaining. And he tells her, stay away.
Poor
not forever, but for now.
Yeah.
You could see it just gutted her.
She was destroyed.
Yeah.
We saw her happy two episodes. So
that's all we get. We're back to poor Edith.
Exactly.
Exactly. We are
she
back.
Runs up the stairs crying and stuff.
And she has nobody. She
no.
has
no
nobody. You're so right.
She doesn't have a sister she can talk to.
No.
She can't talk to her brother-in-law. Like there is
and
no
the love
one.
Of her life is missing.
And the love, like nobody.
Yeah. And even Marigold, she can have moments with her, but only moments, stolen moments, basically. Mm. So, it's horrible, horrible. So,
that girl, she'll never catch a break.
Yeah. Mm-mm. But I was just mentioning how Lord Grantham is dismissive of Edith and saying, I hope she, you know, she doesn't, they don't get sick of her. He was so dismissive
of this
whole
episode. About everyone.
Especially with Cora, even at that first breakfast where Cora's just trying to be pleasant and, you know, she's talking about going to London and
find a pal to go with her. Come on.
And he is just so disinterested and just cuts her down. And then even when she's talking later at night, when she was talking about how great it was, not the war was great, but the fact that she was useful
busy
in the war.
Had a purpose.
Had a purpose. And you could see her just wanting somebody to listen and say, how'd you know it was amazing? And he goes, you can't want that.
We don't
want
to go back to war. What
well,
is that
and
about?
That's why being with Bricker has been so interesting, because she can have an opinion and he will listen. And also... Yeah. Okay, why is it everybody? Because I read everywhere online.
Yeah.
You did it.
Yeah.
I think you did it too. Why Bricker? Why Richard Grant? And every article I read, Cora's interested in perhaps having a little, dalliance with of all people.
I know.
And that's what everybody said. But no,
I like
I want
Richard
to know
Grant.
Why,
I think Richard Grant's a great actor. I just think this character
is a big dork. He's a big dork. Nobody wants to see her anger, Grantham with
he's
Bricker.
So,
like,
he's so effusive and over the top with his
flirting.
But he tries too hard.
That's true.
He definitely tries too hard.
It's desperate.
But that's because that made it sweet this episode.
Really?
Because he had no game whatsoever, but she was so enamored and felt so special, and you wanted her to feel special.
Well, that's true. I mean, he did a really good job of painting that brush to make Lord Grant was so dismissive and that she just wanted somebody to pay attention.
Nobody wants to feel stupid and, like, useless all the time.
Right?
And I thought it was really interesting that Julian chose to tell the story of her first coming to London and what she felt then and the excitement of being that schoolgirl and was actually being a schoolgirl. Girl with Simon, being all giddy and flirty, and
maybe he wrote that because he's working on the prequel.
Oh,
spoiler!
Not so much a spoiler. He's been commissioned to write a prequel to Downton Abbey set in America.
I love that.
Isn't that exciting? I think it would be incredible to see these girls, these young moneyed girls in America.
And the way they described it, she said she wasn't even up to snuff in Cincinnati, was it?
Yes,
even less in New York. So when she came over to London, but they had money, and she was. What did you say?
A pretty
girl.
Pretty, and I was pretty.
Yeah, I was pretty.
Mm-hmm.
That's
she was embarrassed to call herself pretty.
Yeah,
it was so cute.
It was very cute.
So you really
I get tired of her sometimes because she's kind of been constantly like, Cora has no opinion. Cora doesn't do anything. Cora's just always smiling and pleasant.
Yeah.
And it was nice to see her have some dimension.
Have some moment. Yeah, something other than play a different color. Which was great. In fact, she was even giving it back to Robert there.
That was great.
Yes.
Because he was horrible to her when she got
awful.
Back to Rosamund's. Horrible.
I mean, I understand him coming all the way across the country to, surprise her and all that kind of stuff. But he had no right to call her out
How can
like
you blame her for not... She didn't know.
Of course.
Like, yeah. Why is she, you know?
This is mad, why I don't like surprises. So there.
He was just mad, though, because he realized somebody else was giving his wife something that he's been, you know, neglecting her.
Exactly. Well, then don't be an idiot.
Started an emotional affair.
I thought her best line was when they were back home, and he's asking her opinion.
Right.
She goes, why would you ask my opinion? We both know you don't need it.
Nobody values it. Who cares?
It's a little passive aggressive, but I got the point across.
It did. Yeah, passive aggressive is the English way. Come on. No offense, but you know.
Well, they have to be so polite.
It's like, you know, it's like in the South, bless her heart.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
You know?
No, you're saying, die, bitch, die.
Exactly.
Well, okay. I don't know if there's anything more we need to say about that, but it'll be interesting to see how it plays out because are they really going to get Cora and Simon together? Because now that Robert's aware of it, isn't he going to make some changes and realize,
if nothing else,
not that dense.
Well, right. Simon already proposed that they hang out again.
Yes, but that's what I mean. She said no. That's why she does have her feelings in check.
Correct.
So the Dowager, in her wisdom, it says you got to have that in control.
But
she does. Edith does not. She's a wreck.
She's going to leap into something else, though. Like, she's going to get a new activity, or she's going to start experimenting in some...
Like when Edith started working on the paper?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. She'll find
some
new
if you're
new
not going
to
appreciate me, I'm going to do my own
thing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because she's so American.
She'll start painting.
For God's sake.
He'll have no fear.
And try to sell her paintings in London. And it's going to be lovely.
All right. Paintings in London. And Simon is going to help her sell these? Is that...
Exactly.
Find a gallery to represent her.
Okay, they'll never cross the line. Mm-hmm. But mm-hmm. they
it
will
could
paint
happen.
Together.
Here's Courtney making predictions already.
Watch
okay.
each other's strokes.
And you know, I was just interested in the whole magpie thing and how the magpie sat in silent wonder and stuff. And I'm just
in the painting.
In the painting, that Cora notices and stuff like that. I thought that was a nice little moment. I'm just trying to go, what's the metaphor going on? Is he just pointing at something? And is she going to sit in silent wonder of somebody else? Or is it just because Simon was in silent wonder of her? Is there more going on there?
Well, you know, and the other thing is I'm sure that as cheesy and perhaps over the top his compliments were, she's got to be a well-educated woman and able to speak, you know, eloquently about art and be able to analyze a painting and that sort of thing. Because, I mean, he pointed out how she, he didn't say this obviously, but it was something about how she captured the moment or the,
she understood.
Of each character. That takes education and understanding to be able to do.
And
so.
Even if it without the education, the way she handled the Russians, the way she, you know, when she saw that the Russians are about ready to leave, and then the way she was just bringing them back in, talking about the Romanov stuff, and that was amazing. She turned that whole thing around.
Yes.
And, you know, I was looking at Robert in the background because he's there. And it was like, do you not see the value of what's in front of you? Do you not get that? And
he
was
like, no.
He doesn't.
I think he sees it. He just has sort of taken, you know.
It's glossed over.
It's going to be there. It's always going to be there. So he doesn't have to work to keep it. She's not going anywhere. So I don't think he doesn't think that she has value. But I think that he keeps her in a certain place of value. And that when she starts to show... He doesn't like change, guys.
No, he does not.
No, he's not giving it that.
You can't
show very
new
true.
Personality traits. It stresses him out.
He just takes her for granted, where the new guy, Simon, is complimenting her for her knowledge, and he's actually putting her down. Even when they were fighting at Lady Rosamond's house, he commented, you think he was really there to hear what you had to say about the art?
Yeah, it's just horrible.
But it's horrible, but he wasn't just really there to hear about the art.
Sure.
He was attracted to her. Yeah. So that was his man version of that, but he was a dick.
Yeah, that may be their thought, but it shouldn't actually be said or voiced to you.
Say it like that.
Yeah, that could have been said in a much different way.
Much
better, much better outcome. But then again, we wouldn't have had the drama. So,
exactly.
All right, let's move on. Speaking of drama, we'll go on to Anna Bates' storyline because we got to learn about there is a young witness. It's a young woman, and she overheard Green saying that, what was that line?
Why have you come?
We don't know who said it yet. Of course, they're doing a really good job of just letting this information out.
All right, so.
Uh-oh, here it comes.
Here's the thing. I was trying to figure out, like, who could it be? What's going on? Who are they talking about? And so I went back and watched snippets of last season to find out, you know, who was where and what was what. And there is no way to figure it out from what we've been given
We haven't given enough information.
There's no way. I mean.
It's just pure speculation.
Yeah, and that kind of annoys me a little bit. You know, that's how it goes. Because, you know, I mean, it's smart, mm-hmm. I suppose, because you don't want people figuring it out until you want them to figure it out, and then you tell them how to figure it out.
And so. here they're obviously they want Bates front and center. They had, you know, Sergeant Willis come in. He's asking questions, you know, where, you know, Bates had to give his whereabouts, a chronicle of everything. And,
right.
And then even that was kind of debunked by Hughes later on because she said, you know, well, this is by the train station.
Yeah.
So, you know, everything's making us think, well, of course it has to be Bates. But there's the ticket. I mean,
it's not going to be Bates.
I know, that's the obvious choice.
Can somebody explain to me why this woman saying she heard him say, "Why have you come?" How is that evidence that he was murdered?
Well, I don't know if it's evidence, but it looked like somebody was there, so therefore it may not be an accident.
But I thought the idea was that it was a whole bunch of people on the street anyway. So how it just doesn't make like
well,
I'm
it happened on the street.
They even brought this up.
It happened on the street. I just don't know that there are a lot of people on the street. This particular area, I don't know. I mean, I don't remember anybody saying it was a crowded street.
I have the impression that it was a crowded street, but I don't remember.
It was a busy street when they were talking about the girl's comment.
Just the logic alone, if it was a crowded street, there'd be far more than one witness that would come forward and say something. But they had no witnesses except for this one woman who finally came forward and said, well, I actually heard somebody in the area with them who asked, and Green asked, why have you come?
Right.
So therefore, I don't think it was a crowded street. I don't think there were a lot of people there. There were certainly, if there were a lot of witnesses, nobody saying nothing.
Well, what
except
about
this young woman?
The other information that they've gotten, the police from
his
butler,
yeah.
I want to say.
Yes.
That he had a pretty unpleasant
Tony's butler. Time. Lord Gillingham's butler, because Green had told him that he doesn't like Bates and he had complained about a quarrel he had at Downton. So,
right. Again, and that he was treated poorly at Downton.
Which is, you know, we're pushing, everything's looking towards Bates, which is why it won't be Bates because that's not jaw dropping.
Right, exactly.
Well, even Mrs. Hughes and Mary are doubting his innocence of
Well, they kind of have reason to. They found the ticket and stuff like that.
Okay, but we have to talk about this conversation with Anna and Mrs. Hughes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
This is why I think it's Mrs. Hughes.
Right?
Yes.
Okay. First of all, that would be jaw dropping. I don't know if you saw, but there was an article that was written. Brendan Coyle said the storyline for Bates is jaw dropping this season.
Great.
So, okay. So Anna and Mrs. Hughes are sitting there talking, and Mrs. Hughes is going, this is what Carson told me the police officer said to Bates. Mm-hmm. And Anna is going, well, do you think this and do you think that? And Mrs. Hughes says,
she says, well, how would I know? I wouldn't know any more than you do. But the way she was saying it for me was very evasive. And
I underlined it.
And it's like she didn't want to give any information until Anna gave the information because she didn't want to.
Right.
So, it was very interestingly couched.
It made me look back at last week when the guy first came, the policeman first came. And
right.
Her reaction once she turned away from them and she had like the sugar dish or whatever she was putting away. It wasn't like, oh, I'm so worried. It was, I'm sick.
Scared. She was stricken. That
so
was the look
was,
on my,
was,
I thought.
It was interesting. I wonder if that was played that way for a reason.
Well, it could be four people. It could be Bates. Because the only other people that Bates didn't even know.
These are the people who know
what Green did. There's Anna, there's Mary, and there's Hughes.
Yes.
Bates, as far as we know, nobody told him, so he doesn't know. But
he may have figured it out, but he doesn't
may have
know.
Figured it out, but again, it's a stretch to think that if he didn't know, why would he kill him?
Yeah.
So right.
He'd either have to figure out how he figured it out, I don't know.
No.
If he did. So that really leaves the three.
Right.
And it's hard to believe that Anna would do anything, even though it would kind of, you know, in terms of if you're going to go for a structure and retribution or whatever, then that storyline would be fulfilled if she did that. But
yes.
But also there's Mrs. Hughes. So I don't think it's Mary because Mary had Tony get rid of Green.
Yes.
If she wanted to have him killed, that would have been different. She would have said something different.
Right, exactly.
But she took care of it.
And the information that Mary gave Gillingham was not enough to make Tony want to kill him.
And again, unless all these scenes are just ones that happened that we didn't get to see.
Exactly.
In which case, Julian Fellows, we will feel cheated. I'm just telling you right now.
So that's why, you know, process of elimination for me is kind of
right. And how satisfying would it be?
Jaw dropping.
Yeah. Because here's Mrs. Hughes, who is always standing up for, you know,
what's right. Or in her mind, her thinking of what's right.
Right. And she's always pointing out the other side. And can't we come at things from compassion? She uses the word compassion a lot.
Yeah.
You know, we'll talk about it in a minute, but the storyline about Mrs. Patmore's nephew, you know, can't we be compassionate about this young man?
Yeah.
And, you know, and she was there. The minutes after it happened.
She's the one who saw the aftermath with Anna.
She's the one who could be really affected by it.
So now here's the argument on the other side of it. this is huge. No way. How could she?
Maybe she knows people.
Maybe she knows people. Okay.
Maybe she knows somebody.
All right. So,
but then I guess Green knew whoever.
Green knew who it was. He said but, he you know, that doesn't mean they don't have a mutual.
But that would be like
acquaintance.
A really
sure, I know. Then it would be somebody that we've never. It's like, what?
Like, where did you come from?
Yeah, exactly.
Unless it's the guy that used to cook in the kitchen.
So, but anyway, what I think is great is we're still wondering. It's like,
we're
could
still
it
talking
be?
About
oh
it.
God, you know, and I'm sure there are all kinds of theories out there. I love the theories, though. I love the crazy theories. The more outlandish, the better. I'm not. I mean, mine's
they're
just
fine.
As crazy as anything else. But I like them.
I think yours is pretty shocking.
So I want to hear them. Anyway, okay, so you just brought up Archie, Mrs. Patmore's nephew. Aww. So let's talk about that story. Because that one was, you know, even when that storyline first came out.
Happened, yeah.
Oh, man, when Miss Pat, the way it affected Miss Patmore was just horrendous and horrific. And it just felt horrible for her. Mm-hmm. If I get another H-O-R word in there. But but they brought this all back. And I was surprised. I was like, why are you bringing the storyline back? Because, you know, how much more can you mine from this? But they did that because to me, this was the emotional one for me today.
Yeah.
Because even Edith, which was really sad, we've been there a lot. So we knew it was – and we knew it was going to happen.
Yeah.
We knew that Edith wasn't going to be able to sustain that. And you knew at some point she was going to have to be separated from Marigold.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
To make it even more conflicting. So here's this Miss Patmore thing, and I'm just saddened by the whole thing.
I couldn't help but notice Carson's face when he refused Mrs. Hughes.
Yeah, because last week he hates being on different sides.
Yeah.
He doesn't like to be
on
sides.
He looked heartbroken.
Yes. Yeah.
It was cute.
Yeah. But he stood his ground on this one again.
Yeah,
yeah. He did.
Very strongly.
And I couldn't imagine him relenting on that. Because, you know, I mean,
well, his argument is sound.
It's
hard to, you know.
But it's so
I don't
harsh.
Have it
oh,
is.
Man.
And then the moment later where Robert was speaking to Mrs. Patmore,
yeah.
You know, and she was very curt with him.
Mm-hmm.
He turns back to Carson, and Carson says, it's beneath your station. Don't you worry. Dang. It's all taken
She'll
care of.
It.
But it was sad. It was still so sad because she looks like she's on the verge of tears at all times now.
And she was. And, well, the scene in the kitchen when...
Yeah, what was that line she said?
She says, well, he says, I'm sorry, I don't want you to feel like I'm unsympathetic. And she says, well, that doesn't butter my any
parsnips.
Doesn't, yeah.
Yeah.
So, but just the way that she dealt with that was just difficult to watch. Because I don't know why. I just want Miss Patmore to get it easy. I want her to have an easy
break.
Road.
Oh,
you know, because it's like,
she can't do anything wrong.
Exactly. All she does is make great food for people.
I know.
Give her a break.
And trying to get Daisy an education.
Exactly.
Yeah,
even though it's going to cause more work. Come on.
And cost her money.
I know.
She's literally paying for it.
Give Patmore a break.
Give her some slack.
Nobody will know.
I know. It was tough. And, you know, anyway. It just got me. I don't know why. It just got me.
Yeah.
All right, speaking of one, I'm going to go jump forward. I wanted to talk about the Thomas moment for a second before we do our last moment. Just because we see him wanting to use the telephone privately.
Yes.
And makes inquiries.
Mm-hmm. Advertisements.
Mm-hmm. So he's obviously on another scheme. He wants out.
He's
I guess now that Jimmy's not there and Baxter's not going to help
anything.
Him.
Doing anything, why is he there?
Why is he staying?
Right.
I guess. Is that what we're thinking? Is that what we're...
Yeah, I mean, choose your own path. You know, I would assume that that's a career move and some sort of, I don't know, opportunity that he's looking for. But, you know, lying that your dad's on his deathbed.
I know.
Well, he doesn't like his dad at all, so.
And his dad apparently
didn't like him very much,
so there's no love lost there.
No love lost there, yeah.
But I was curious. I was wondering, is it something so odd or that you can't, be honest about it? I mean, because I just have an appointment. I don't know. Maybe did you? Why did he have to lie?
Maybe because it came up out of nowhere. You know, had it been something planned,
and he needed to leave right away, and it needed to be a good
enough
reason.
Because he suddenly told Carson, "I have to leave tomorrow morning. Otherwise, I'll."
Mm-hmm. Or maybe it's like a seedy kind of choose your own path.
I don't know.
Like
with Thomas, probably.
Did you never know Thomas?
I don't think so.
Some nightclub
on the forefront of
what were we calling it? Down There Abbey.
Down There Abbey.
Exactly.
Right, so we had a little bit down there with Barry and Tony. So. All right. Speaking of some down there, let's talk about the Russians because they came to town.
The Russians are here.
The Russians are coming. The Russians are here. Yeah, we heard. We got to learn a little bit about Violet in this one.
Yes.
I like Like, get
yeah,
involved.
It was nice having the Russians. Yeah, I just, you know, Hughes' comment. They're expressing a lot of emotion. Then again, they are foreigners.
Exactly. And they were yeah. sobbing.
Yes, they were. Over the Romanov artifacts or yeah. whatever, and the Duchess Maria's and stuff. Like, oh my God! Yeah, it was. And you know, even Robert mistook that for something painful. I thought they'd enjoy this.
They do, in their own way.
In their own way. Yeah.
It's hard to know the Russians.
Yeah.
So okay, so we learned that Violet received the fan.
Mm-hmm.
Has a fan of the fan.
She got a fan.
Right.
That's right, a fan of her own. Mm-hmm. What was his name? Corrigan. Kerrigan.
Prince Kerrigan.
So, what do we think? Do we think there was a dalliance of her own? I mean, that's what they're intimating.
Well, she sure seemed shocked.
Yes.
She sure seemed like she had something a little bit to hide.
Yes.
A little bit.
And I was
traveling with my father. It was all completely above board. Yeah. I don't think so.
I just love that Mary goes, okay, all right.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. All that talk.
Check it, Grandma.
Exactly. Oh, and he had a look in his eyes, too.
Oh, my God, yeah.
He was very forward, right?
He was.
I was taking it back
in front of everybody.
Well, maybe it's the Russian thing, you know? All this emotion. I'm not used to it on Downton.
Misplaced. He doesn't have a home. He's got nothing to lose.
And apparently doesn't have a princess anymore, right?
Like, what is that?
She didn't get out, you know?
Nobody did a follow-up question? Come on, a follow-up.
What do you mean? I don't know.
Where's exactly. the follow-up? Exactly.
Yeah, come on. I got to know that.
She's gone.
All right, so you just mentioned it, Tamara, which is a great jumping off point for something to hide, because it's one thing we didn't address about the
line.
Mary asked Anna to hide something for her.
Oh, no.
We talked about it last week. That's going to come back. You know that's going
to
come back.
Yeah. Well, but thank God she mentioned it to Bates as she was... Secreting it in her. It's something for Mary.
Right.
Don't ask me. It's personal. Mm-hmm. I'm going to put it in a cupboard. Don't you look at it. I'm going to put a little note on it that says, do not open.
Where would it be next to? Where would you find it?
Things that you hide in closets.
So, you know, but he'll find it.
Isn't it interesting that Mary, who lives in this massive mansion.
I have nowhere to hide.
With about 100 million little corners in places.
Yeah, exactly.
Can't hide this item.
Take a chance.
Put this in the cottage.
that has one cupboard.
There's some out-of-the-way corners somewhere.
Yeah.
What was Anna's line about sin, though? Somehow I feel like I'm taking on your
sin.
She's
aiding and abetting sin.
Yeah.
She said, I'm aiding and abetting sin, and I hope I don't have to pay.
Right?
Because she's so worried about the base thing. She thinks, by doing this, I'm going to... Yeah.
Well, when the police search their home, because they're looking for evidence...
And they find the diaphragm.
Wow.
They say she had an affair with Mr. Green.
Oh, my God.
That's awful.
Dun, dun, dun.
Wow.
That would make me very, very angry.
But there is no unwanted epilogue, as the Dowager says.
Right? So no consequences, as Mary called them.
Yes. Yeah.
So, wow. Okay, so that's still there.
It's still there.
Mm-hmm. So how is that going to play out?
Little use now.
But seriously, I'm a little bit relieved because Bates saw her put that away.
Yeah,
so at least it's not going to be between the two of them, because that is so hard to watch.
Well,
he
still has to believe her, and of course he probably will. But if you're going to go for the conflict, he's not going to believe her. Yeah, you said it's for her, but why would Mary need it?
Yeah.
He's not that stupid.
I'm not saying he's that stupid. I'm just saying that if you want the conflict, you'll come up with a rational reason for him not to believe her.
Mm. Yeah. And Anna would never betray Mary's trust and reveal that she had a little tryst.
So that's
in Liverpool.
Yeah.
We got to have complications with her somehow.
Yeah, we do. You're right.
So, you know, I mean, because it's not going to be all about just the green thing.
No, of course. All right. Ay, though.
I don't want conflict for Anna.
I know.
She got enough for like 5 seasons without one scene.
Yeah.
That's true.
Talk about, you know, I was saying Patmore should get cut some slack.
Yeah.
But no, maybe
Anna had a pass.
Yeah. But let's face it, we loved it when Anna's in jeopardy.
Yes, we did.
Not that
we were riveted, but we were riveted.
No, absolutely. But not that we wanted to go through what you went through, but. She's a great actress, and the
way she did it.
I mean, so we love that, you know, I mean, even the way she was dealing with Bates being in prison, as boring as that might be to go back to prison every now and then, the way she handled it was fun. I mean, to watch. I mean, it was dramatic and interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So As audiences, we love it. No. But you don't want it to happen. Yeah, nobody wants it to happen.
No.
All right.
So. I need a break.
All right. What are there stories? Anything that you guys want to talk about that we haven't covered?
Baxter.
Baxter.
Oh, my God, of course.
Baxter and Cora.
We finally got to learn. We finally get to learn. Thank of course, goodness. Only because Cora lays down the ultimatum.
Yes.
So. There's always a man behind it. That's all I have to say.
And John would say?
No, if it was women, I would say, but...
Dames.
Dames is trouble.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. Dames is trouble.
So Cora says, yes. You have to tell me the rest of the story. I'm not going to make a decision.
If you do.
If you do, then I'll consider it.
I'll make my decision.
Yeah. I'll tell you. Otherwise, you're just gone, exactly. I think, was the rest of that sentence. But
Mosley's the one that gives her
Thank
the best
you.
Advice.
Mosley is just doing wonderful
go.
Things.
I know. Where Mosley?
It was so great.
Make it a condition that if you tell her, then your condition is that it goes back in the ground and stays in the ground.
That was an excellent bit of advice.
And it worked.
It really was.
Yeah, so we got to learn it all. So, of course, it was some footman. What's his name? Peter Coyles?
Peter Coyle.
Peter Coyle.
Who was handsome. It's always a handsome devil, right?
Always.
Yeah, but cruel
handsome,
and nasty.
Handsome but cruel and nasty, and he made me nasty, she said.
But she said, and I embraced it.
Yes, and I embraced it because it was dirty.
Boy, Baxter. But so I love the line where she says, "What was it that that she?"
I was ashamed.
Yeah, she was ashamed.
And he let him change.
Yeah,
me.
Let him change me. Mm-hmm.
That was a great line. Yeah,
I changed everything I believe in for an unworthy man.
Yes.
So, and she was so ashamed she was willing to go to jail for how many years?
Yeah.
3 years.
And still willing to keep it a secret because she doesn't. Yeah. So was it satisfying to learn finally?
Well, I don't think that story's over.
The reason, I'm just saying, was the reason satisfying for enough?
Yeah, it's sad.
Like
it was
sad.
Yeah,
it kind of gave a nice little
It certainly gave her a nice depth and roundness. Yeah. It's like, wow, she's been through a lot there. And the fact that she's still willing to keep it and wants it to stay at rest because she's so ashamed.
Right,
she's carrying that.
And Cora's pushing her to still report him.
Right.
Yeah. And I won't, she says.
So do we think he'll come back?
Somehow or another, that's coming back. That story is not over.
It can't be over. Uh-uh. Uh-huh. But I like it.
And what? How will she handle it the next time he comes back?
I don't know. She might get nasty again. But then Mosley's there now, so maybe.
Oh, there you go. You'll have Peter Coyle and Mosley.
Because
there's a big okay. Because
will
think
he blackmail her? Is the question.
Who?
But what? He can't.
Coyle
the nasty. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because she's been to jail for it.
She's been to jail. She's paid her dues, and she's already told her employer.
If anything,
so.
She could blackmail him for it.
Right.
Well, what if he exposed her secret? You know, to everybody.
It would be troubling for her, but she's already told her employer, so...
I mean...
But it would be difficult to have it known amongst her peers.
Everybody,
especially because it's so shameful.
Yeah, exactly. Because of the shame she feels of it, and she's carrying it.
No bueno.
Yeah. But it made me like her.
Yeah.
It made me like her. Because it was kind of annoying that she kept saying, I'm not going to say it was my responsibility. Mm-hmm. But it's nice to see, once you know the whole story, mm-hmm. that you recognize mm-hmm. it really was a choice that I made, and I was not okay.
And she's right for saying it doesn't, I shouldn't pass it on because it has nothing to do with that. I did it.
I chose him.
Exactly.
And I was going to run
away. And she knows
him.
You did it.
Well, and, you know, in retrospect, now she's being relatively noble about it and that she wouldn't. Divulge the reason why she did it because the bottom line is she did it.
Yeah.
She did do the crime. Mm-hmm. And she did, And, as noble as one might think it is to not tell the whole story, she still just did the crime. So that's just a terrible place to be.
Was it a surprise that Cora kept her? Not really, but
no.
It was kind of so easy. You'll stay. Yeah, you'll stay. Yeah.
I kind of felt like it was an empty threat anyways. And she wasn't ever going to fire her.
She wanted to know that it wasn't like...
A given.
I thought she was carrying around the box of jewels.
The whole time.
Everywhere she goes.
Yes, I'm a jewel thief.
I swear they're here. I am not putting them in my pocket.
Talk about the fox in the hen house. Yes, I've got the jewels. All right, we have to move on to news.
Let's do that. I've got a fair amount.
Okay, we got to get to news.
If you're one of the fans who needs to take your Downton with you, you're in luck. There's an app for that.
Look at that.
This week, the show's official Downtonisms app has been unveiled, and I think it actually got unveiled today, this afternoon. It's available for iOS and Android devices, so Downton Abbey fans can relive their favorite one-liners or Downtonisms. The app costs 69p, or in the U.S., 99 cents. Fans can choose to listen to audio clips from 12 of the most popular characters, with over 160 quotations to play and share across social media platforms. You know I'm going to be sharing these. You know I will.
My God, just get the dowager.
Man. Yeah, exactly.
That would be great.
She is going to have the best ones of all.
Ringtone with her.
Yes. What is a weekend?
What is a weekend?
Oh, that was a great line she said about the, you know,
Personal life.
Personal
Sprat.
Life. Yes, Brad, thank you.
Yes.
And I would say, you know, Isabel calls, you know, says
she's
that,
like, they're humans, too.
They're humans, too. But one would
only on the weekend. On the days off.
Their time off. Yeah,
right.
All right, go ahead. What's this?
Okay, if you need more for your Downton fix, as we all know, the wine came out last year. Yes, we're drinking wine again this week.
These two.
We're
completely sober here.
Now a board game is out, available on Amazon, and it is described as a fast-moving game that transports you into the world of Downton Abbey. You play either a footman or a maid and make your way around the board.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
It's true. Also, Marks and Spencer, which is a department store in the UK, launched a Downton Abbey beauty line last year, including soap, nail polish, lip gloss. Mm-hmm. There were a lot of folks who dismissed the line, but no doubt someone will come up with another this season and so that you can feel and smell like a Grantham if you want.
Wow.
Alrighty then.
Apparently, American fans scare the Downton Abbey cast.
Oh, wow. Really?
Somehow that doesn't surprise me.
Wow.
The AP interviewed the Associated Press here in the U.S. or worldwide organization, interviewed various cast members about the difference between their reception in the streets of England and those in the United States.
Wow.
We all know that Brendan Coyle, who plays Mr. Bates, is rather coy and not terribly appreciative of his fans. He's known for ruining Sly pictures
photos,
that they're taking on the Sly. But Elizabeth McGovern said it's a little like being a Beatle or something. People like mob them here in the U.S.
Wow. Okay.
In fan news, American Downton Abbey fan and our friend photographer Melanie Watson created a beautiful snow woman. Her interpretation of Violet, the Dowager Countess of Grantham. Melanie sent me photos and I tweeted them just a few minutes ago. So check my Twitter feed for the fun. John thinks that Violet is smiling far too much. But as you know, maybe after she saw the Russian, she had a reason to have a smile on her face. That is post-Russian.
Oh my God.
See, a little bit of smile.
It's nice, the
on
Russian,
there.
And she's all, you know, in the mink and in the snow. So that's very, I think you'd find that attractive.
Yeah.
Remind him of home.
Melanie D. Watson on
Thank
Twitter
you, Melanie.
And Melanie Watson Photography. And finally, in keeping with this season's sauciness, you'll love this, John. ShoesOnly.com. A company specializing in exotic and erotic travel sexy vacations has booked Dartmoor's Bubby Castle for an exclusive July 2015 vacation package they are calling the Pleasure Castle. Think a sexy Downton Abbey, they say on their website. Apparently, they offer an erotic mix of medieval history, excitement, glamour, and adventure, except that they misspell medieval on their website, and it writes, me devil. But it's not intentional. I'm sure it's not intentional. Yeah. And they play tennis and live jazz.
Right. And it's full of Turkish ambassadors.
Right? Ooh. And speaking of Turkish, I wonder if they drape towels over all the furniture. Just wondering. A couple of shout-outs. These are a couple of comments that I found particularly funny on our YouTube page. 63 Island Girl said, her new prediction is, there will be a new scullery maid and her name will be Dandelion or Lily or maybe Skunk Cabbage. Fellow seems to like plant names.
Skunk.
Daisy, Ivy, and Marigold.
Nice.
LG 27 Rich says, you guys are fantastic, but Jesus, I'll never get women because Miss Bunting is my favorite.
I thought she was really cute in the very first episode, but she's also crazy.
Yeah, okay.
And then quick shout outs to Delicious Talk Podcast, Lauren Klaus, Elizabeth Freisch, Juliana Higino, and Reg Lavcor, who connected all of his names.
Thank
I couldn't
you,
say it right last week. And Julie Cohen and Dear Allie.
There you go. Thank you very much
Thank
for
you,
your comments. Please keep those comments coming. And, you know, if you got any ideas or outlandish, crazy theories.
I laugh and laugh and laugh
great.
As I read them.
Comments
they're so good and so funny.
Do it on YouTube. Please keep them coming. That's a lot of fun.
Yeah, they are. They're great.
All right, we got last. Does anybody have any predictions?
Okay,
let's do predictions. Let's go.
And now, your AfterBuzz TV.
We're going ready.
Yeah.
Gregson is going to come back.
He needs to, please.
We said that last week.
Oh. Yeah,
kind of. They're really building it a lot. Yeah. We did say it last week. But Tom was talking about, you know, when he's talking to Mary in front of the fire and going, I didn't buy that sketching trip thing anyway.
By the way, it was nice that because Edith would say, where are your sketches? And in the next scene, we actually see her going through her sketches. Man, she's prepared. Nice. I wonder who she got to draw those things.
Yeah, there were sketches of fashion.
Exactly.
That was ridiculous.
What is going on?
But so Tom is noticing that she's distracted. She's crying in front of the guests. I mean, the maids, and you know. Yeah. So, yeah. Anyway, that's. I just wanted
she
to point that stuff
in
out.
Her life.
You can't. You know. Yeah. It's gonna come out.
Yeah,
it has to come out.
Has to.
It's getting crazy.
I hope so. But you know, it's gonna make it. You know, and the whole thing's gonna come out. Marigold's her child. I mean, because how is she gonna get her back?
Yeah. Yeah. She'll. Yeah, she's gonna have to go. She's gonna have to let it all out.
She's gonna. You think she won't get that?
It's gonna be torturous.
You know what's gonna be torturous is waiting until Christmas to find out that Mrs. Hughes had something to do with Green's death. Because that's what we're gonna have to do. I guarantee it.
All right. Any other last thoughts? Any other predictions?
I'm the only blabbermouth here tonight because I had half a glass of wine. All it's warm in here.
I gave my prediction.
You did.
That's that package caused trouble for Anna.
Yep,
it will.
Lady Mary. I just hope Miss Bunting goes away. And if he goes to the States with Bunting, I will not watch the show anymore.
Ooh. Whoa. That's a prediction there.
That's my prediction.
Courtney,
I will be very
dropping
upset.
The pen.
And I like that Mary said, I will support you, but I will be devastated if you go to the
Because she's speaking for us when she says
she's
that.
Speaking for us.
But isn't it odd that she's so willing to say that to Tom, but she's still so rude to Edith.
They haven't gotten to that point where sisters become friends.
I know,
they're still siblings.
Yeah, but how long is they're 30 for crying out loud?
But they can't because she's off with Grayson.
But when they both have children, that's what's going to happen.
Don't you remember the moment after Sybil's death? They had that Meisner moment. Everybody was like, oh, that's great.
No.
We just need one every now and then. I'm not saying they should be buddy buddies, but every once in a while, the idea that they might be
would be
great
because then each other
something
right
would
now.
Tear them apart again.
Well, that's what we'll get when maybe she will actually confide. She's not going to get Marigold back.
No.
But maybe.
Okay.
Maybe she'll confide in Mary.
Yes.
About what
Mary
going
is the power. You know, and that might be true. That might be true.
And
true.
Mary will be like, I run this farm. You have to let her see her kid. And then she'll get
That is the last word. Thank you, Courtney. And speaking of Courtney, tell them where they can find you.
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Stuart Starlet.
There you go. Tamara.
I am at Tamara Berg, TamaraBerg. And my website is TamaraCentral.com. Thanks.
I'm on Twitter at Alina Akram, LA.
Okay, you can't find me anywhere but here. I'll see you next week. Thank you for listening. We'll talk
to
you next time.
Thank you.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
Cup of tea.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.